The truth response.
You were just saying, are you the only one watching?
That is not college educated in here.
No, I dropped out.
Oh, you dropped out. Okay.
I dropped out.
Well, it'd be interesting if Lizzie was in here. We'd have four different levels of education.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, she has a master's, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Nick, he basically got a PhD.
She got a master's in Christian leadership.
Okay.
And her regular whatever was in youth ministry. Her bachelor's was youth ministry focus.
Okay.
And she's the family ministries director now. Emphasis on children. I don't know. Whatever. But yeah, she's got a master's. She got her master's for free.
How did she manage that?
The school. The school, she went for 4 years to the school. Yeah. And they gave her her master's degree for free. Like, she went through the classes, but it just didn't cost her anything.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
Since she went all 4 years to the college.
Yeah, Brittany actually got paid to go to school. It was kind of neat.
Nice.
Yeah, my she was living at home, too. And her scholarship provided for, like, room and board, I guess, or something. Yeah. So she just pocketed that cash they took.
Yeah. that's dope. I graduated debt-free, but...
Oh, yeah, no, Colleen and I got a lot of debt. My cousin, she graduated high school with her bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
She took so many college classes. Like, she started doing room in her freshman year.
Savannah, didn't she? She had, like, a six-something GPA or something.
Yeah, because she probably finished with her AA.
Yeah, she did all kinds of craziness. But
yeah.
Bachelor's degree at the end of high school?
High school.
Crazy.
Yeah. My cousin Eva, she was really smart. She went to... She actually... it's funny. She didn't get accepted to Harvard. And she graduated with the... She was a valedictorian.
Yeah, she didn't want to go to Harvard anyways.
No, she actually really wanted to go to NYU, which is where she went. So now she works for Google.
Speaking of, nice. Like, what's up with the... We're still emphasizing college. What's up with that?
Well, you know, I actually just heard on the radio... actually, not the radio, but Daily Wire. There is a huge drop in male... men going into college now. It's so much so that
are they going into vocational or
well they don't specify that. Oh, right.
Okay. Well, the problem is vocational doesn't report the same way that colleges do.
Right.
Because
right.
There's not a board of regents for them like there are for universities.
But like a 4-year university or college education, right. Males are on a like a steep decline, so much so that schools are now having to rethink how they're pitching their classes, you know, or that kind of thing, because it's all female dominated.
If they're going to vocational stuff, that's a good thing in my eyes, because we're losing all of our farmers, our steel workers, everybody who does everything with their hands are going away because of all this surge in college stuff that there's less and less of them. I work with, I work at a condo building, and the one next door is being built. There's one that's being built next door. But the people who are in charge of it, like the overarching contractor builder company, is they still are in our building for warranty stuff. And so I talk to them all the time. And they're like, if people don't start getting into this industry soon, in 15 years, we're not going to have anybody who knows how to do any of this stuff. Like,
yeah.
Well, and, you know, I mean, and... Men, I guess. I mean, I guess it's true across the board, but men are figuring out that the college education is really not worth it because they're still having to work just as hard to come up through the ranks and everything else. I mean, the only reason I've stayed where I'm at, I mean, I'm a frontline manager, right? I work directly with my team, directly with customers. I've had the opportunity to move ahead, but I just see what those guys ahead of me go through, and it's like, you know, no thanks. But I would have been like one of the few, you know, say GMs or that kind of thing, that's not college educated, you know. I was asked a couple different times to move up and just, thanks, no.
I don't know. So in my industry, I work in hospitality, you know, and so we run hotels. And I think about a lot of the people who are, you know, bigger GMs and bigger hotels, most of them do have degrees, but other people, so I run a Hampton Inn. You know, most people who run Hampton Inn started at the bottom and worked their way up.
Exactly.
You know? So,
and you're probably doing just as well, if not a better job, than you would if you just sprung into that position out of a 4-year college.
Right.
You know what it's like to be up front and having to do the manual labor or the you know the upfront labor.
Yeah.
So now you know how to manage it.
So. Yeah.
Well, I'm a middle millennial, so we were told go middle to college because the generation before us and the elder millennials, like they went to college and they got jobs because they went to college. It was a good thing. It was helpful. It was necessary for the time. But we were told to do the same because that's what everybody right before us had done. And so we went to college, and those of us who went to college got out of college and realized all these people that didn't go to college, who went ahead and just jumped into the workforce, are GMs in companies now. And we have to be like fry cooks. Like that was the big, like, we were told that we would get in and nothing's happening.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you were told by the people who did go to college and they got jobs right out of college.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Like teachers, and nothing wrong with teachers. I think we need teachers left and right because that's one of the industries that needs people is education. But you're also being educated by people who went to college, you know. So I was raised in a house where my mom has three master's degrees. Three master's degrees. That's a lot of student loans, but, you know, obviously she went to school in the 70s, so they didn't have student
my
loans.
My dad didn't go to college at all. He went through EMT and paramedic school and firefighter school and all
right,
that.
But that takes like, what, a year and college. A half, two? 2 years?
Several. I don't know. I mean, he got to the point of being able to instruct it and all that stuff too. But so not technically college, but trade, you know, trade school. My mom got her associates so that she could do like she was doing daycare at the time. But as far as like going just to college or whatever, like there wasn't a whole lot of that in my family.
Yeah.
Like, well, my mom was the first one really that I know of. So
I'm just wondering about.
I could be wrong, but
I'm just wondering if the decline in you know in male, you know, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. You know,
male enrollment.
Enrollment. There we go.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just wondering if
you would have known that if you went to college. Sorry, Mark.
Yeah, no, it's a good shot. I was just wondering if the, you know, decline in male enrollment is just because the indoctrination that's happening within colleges, right? Are men waking up to the fact that, man, I don't want to even put myself in that position because of, you know, this indoctrination that's happening in some schools. I'm sure it's not happening in all. But I can even see it in my kids who have been through college in that indoctrination of certain ideologies, which are obviously not, based in the Bible. It's based on, you know, the worldly view.
And thankfully, I went to a Christian school. Everything was taught from a biblical perspective. So science classes and math classes and everything had some kind of a biblical underlying tones to it. So I'm thankful for having that opportunity, but I wish that I would have gone for something else. Like, sure, I had aspirations to be a youth pastor, but I should have gone like the minor degree in the religion and philosophy and actually gone to school for something that I could have used out of college, like
business.
Tech, IT. Yeah. I tried business. I got a minor in business. So,
okay.
I have trouble with accounting, so I couldn't have gone that route very well. I get the debits and credits mixed up. The concepts confuse me. But I'm good with numbers. I just, those concepts are confusing to me. But I should have gone for like IT. Like if I could have done computer technologies, no problem back then, you know, and gotten a job right out of college because that was where everything was right out of college. Our nursing program was huge. Obviously, that's something you've got to go to school for, and there's no shortage of jobs for, you know,
nurses,
medical professionals, you know, and that sort of thing. Law enforcement, those sorts of things. There was a pre-law program and all that. I should have gone for something different.
Right.
You know, that's my thing is I wish that I would have gone for something other than what I went for. But it's too late now. So welcome to the Truth Response, guys. We've got Mark, and we've got this other guy, Will.
Wow.
Mark and the other guy.
I mean, we just
Mark and the other guy.
Day together.
Hey,
and
look,
just
look. It's been a long day. It's been a long couple of weeks. Getting over COVID. That's why we haven't been here with you guys. Me and my wife were out. Nick was out for 2 weeks. We've all been out. So that's why you guys haven't gotten anything from us, but We do have Will and Mark here today. Hey. Everybody else was kind of busy, so we'll just be talking. We'll throw in some Bible in here and whatnot, but we don't necessarily have too much of an agenda today. Just kind of doing some roundtable discussion, obviously starting off with colleges and discussing the decline of men going to college, I guess. I didn't know that was a thing. Enrolling in college.
He's college educated.
He is college educated. Just so, because we're talking about college.
Well, what's the difference between going and enrolling?
None.
You have the college degree, so you should be using the fancier word.
Why? See, okay, this is one thing I learned, right? When I went into college, I was one of those people, and I still am one of those people that I like to argue a lot, but I was one of those people
you
that
argue?
I knew that I was right about every single thing. I am to a point now in my life that I think I'm right about a lot of things, but I know that I'm wrong about a lot of things as well, right? Like, I can accept being wrong. It may take a minute of fighting to get there, but I can accept that I'm wrong about things.
But of fighting.
A lot of people who go into college, they also come out of college thinking, well, now I know everything because I went to college. And so, like, that's something that I don't like, the whole big words. Like, people who go to seminary and they're always using the big words, it's like, you learn the big words so you understand how to translate those big words to the people, right? To the people who didn't go to college for it.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, transubstantiation. Why would you ever use that on the street? You wouldn't. Because it makes zero sense to anybody but people who studied it, right? Like, so,
I mean,
I don't know. That's so the big words thing, like, I don't do big words. I do little words because I understand the concepts enough to tell the little words.
I just say sign up.
College. Continue.
For some perspective, at least, you know, Derek, you went to college and you have a bachelor's degree,
right?
I went to college and I had 2.5 semesters worth of colleging before I dropped out because I needed to make money and flipping burgers wasn't making enough money. And then Mark, who is also here on the podcast, didn't go to college and he probably has the best life out of all. Because he doesn't have student loans.
Yeah, because he's got his kids out of the house now.
Oh, yeah.
That's one. I ran from school. Whenever I hated high school, hated everything about it. My mom was completely disappointed I didn't go to college. There was a small blip on the radar about going into the military, and then that faded pretty quick. So
for me, one thing that's interesting, like, and it's weird, and not in the sin aspect of envy, but, like, I almost envy people like you and my dad who started early and ran in this and are good at what you do now and are at that point. Like, I'm 32, almost 33, and I'm a security guard, and that's new in the last 3 years. So, like, I feel like I have wasted so much money. And I know I'm young, and I know it's early. There's a lot of people who say, you know, right now, but it doesn't change how I feel about, like, my dad was well on his way through things by the time he was my age. Things were established. He was settled into, I would have been like 12 at this point, you know, or 11 at this point, in his life. So, like, we already had a house, you know, that we had been in for, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years. And it was a nice house, you know. He was a paramedic firefighter. Whenever I was 10 or 11, he was the assistant chief, I think, at the fire department. Like, now he's gone through cycles. He went up to chief and then he got out of there in a very negative fashion. There was a lot of mess that happened politically. But then, like, he's finally this senior guy because he's the oldest, you know, one of the older guys. And, like, he's at a place where he is happy, you know, at where he's at. And he's able to, like, he's got two jobs now. He's got that and this other, he does IV nutrition, which I don't know if you guys know what that is. But basically, they do, you come in and you can get, like, infusions of, like, your vitamins or just fluids or whatever. It's really great for people who work out a lot, athletes, cures hangovers. They do, like, they'll go out to parties or whatever. I mean, that's a big thing.
I might need some information.
He's in Kansas City.
Right.
Let's see. It's Living Water is what it's called. So if anybody's listening to it, it's like Kansas City area somewhere up there. It's not the exact name of it, but if you look up Living Water IV Nutrition, you can find it. And free ad for my dad there. But he co-owns this company, and he also is a paramedic firefighter, who runs a truck now. You know, he's a driver. But like, I almost envy you guys, because like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, whereas you guys, I don't know about you in particular, but I know my dad was fairly well established by the time he was my age. And I feel like I just got a house. Like, you know, like.
Well, I don't know. I mean, in my case, I started having kids young and everything else. But there was more. I mean, because I was having children at 22, there was not necessarily a want to, but a have to kind of thing. I had to establish myself in which direction I was going to do, and I had to do it quickly. Once I knew, so I had a love of law enforcement and I had a love of electronics. So, you know, I was trying to figure out which way to go. So obviously, you know, the alarm business, you know, electronic security, was something I gravitated to, and it really was only supposed to be a stepping stone into something bigger and better. But there's a great story about how I knew that this was the business that I wanted to be in. I don't know if you guys.
Sure. Yeah. That. Yeah.
I mean, so we're listening. So the Reader's Digest, the Reader's Digest version. I'm 23 years old, getting started, just fresh out. I did go to tech school, I did go to a trade school. Took 2 years of electronics. I'm servicing alarms. I have really no idea what I'm doing, but I know basic circuitry and I'm making things happen. I go, there's a place over in West Palm Beach, a town called Riviera. It's a port town. It's kind of rough. Go there and I go to a bait and tackle shop. I was told to put in wireless panic buttons, test them, make sure they work, hand them to the customer. So I handed out 4 panic buttons, packed up and left. 2 days later, I get my boss coming out of the door. He's screaming for me, Storielli, come here. Storielli, come here. Here we go. You know, what happened? Walk into his office. He goes, did you put in these panic buttons over at this basic bait and tackle shop in Riviera? I was like, yep. He goes, did you test them? And I'm like, absolutely, I test them. He goes, good thing you did, because they got held up. They used my panic buttons that I installed, and they caught the guys leaving the place right out in the parking lot. And right at that moment, I was like, this is it. This is where I want to be. Mm-hmm. So once that happened, I knew I wanted to do banks. And then I wanted to get into life safety, which is fire, basically, for electronic side. And then video surveillance is kind of just icing on the cake and that kind of thing. So that was it. I think that people, you know, for me, it was right place, right time kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And I'm just lucky, you know, or blessed. I want to say blessed, because God has been watching out for me. I really feel he's been
something. I feel like in the church, I feel like we use that word interchangeably. I know we shouldn't necessarily, because people don't look at it that way. But whenever I say I'm lucky, I mean that I'm blessed and God had me at the right place at the right time, or His hand has shown, you know, mercy on me, pretty much, you know, like grace, the giving me what I didn't deserve. So like, I don't know. I feel like. Lucky is a fine thing to say, and as long as you know where the luck is coming from, right? Which I guess is the definition difference between the two words. But yeah, I think that that's why I think I kind of internally am freaking out now, is because I have a kid now and I have to figure out what's going on, but I at the same time have this mentality that it's too late to figure that stuff out. No. I know that it's not. I mean, I hear that a lot, but it doesn't change the fact that it feels like it's too late to get into that stuff, because
I'm almost 33. I've had people start later than you and pick it up. I mean,
not that it's too late for that, but like too late to get into something that like to find it, to find the thing. You know, like that's what it feels like, is it's too late to find that thing.
We always use, you know, different stories in scripture to try to, you know, justify our reasoning a lot of times, you know. And, you know, we look at like Abraham, right? He was old, right?
When, right, 98 or whenever.
Whenever God gave him the promise.
Or she was 98 whenever had a kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And, you know, you can look at it figuratively or but the matter of the fact is that it was mentioned that she was older.
Beyond her life. Years, yeah. Right.
That God revealed his bigger plan for that, you know, for that person's life. And maybe youth ministry is what you're called to. It's just hasn't been the right time. Or
maybe it's not this generation.
Well, I mean, you know, if you just take my story is one among many, you know, and not just in my field, but in any field. I think it's just a matter of really sitting down and saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do. You know, even if it's not your dream job, like, you know, when I was a kid, wanted to be a fire pilot. That was the short blip on the radar of going into the military. Right. So I wanted to go into the Air Force. But I think at some point, you know, I don't want to say give up your dream, right? But you have to really establish, like, this is what I'm going to do to put bread on the table, and mm-hmm. then go attack it with everything you have, and make sure that nothing gets in the way. Because, you know, when I came out of the field and went into the management piece of this, I've had other managers roll up and say, you're never going to make it. Please go back out in the field where you belong. And from that point on, I'm like, I am not getting out of this chair. I am going to be a manager of a department, and I'm going to manage it to the best of my ability, and I'm not going to be afraid. Here's the other piece of advice, folks. Never be afraid to know you're wrong. Know when you don't know, and then go ask somebody. Because I've seen a lot of people fail that they're just too afraid to call somebody for support, call a mentor, you know, and just be too stubborn to say I'm wrong about it. God bless him. There was a guy named Kevin Adams. Kevin, I love you, brother. He was my GM when I first came into being in management, and I was a complete short fuse hothead, could snap out on a heartbeat. And he took me and he put me into a class, Dale Carnegie classes. And I did not want to go. He was like, either you do this or you're fired. And I was like, okay, I'll go take Dale Carnegie classes. And after that was all over, and actually after I was done with Dale Carnegie, I went back as a teacher's helper kind of deal. So I took it twice. Got a lot out of it. But if it wasn't for that guy recognizing, and then when I finally succumbed and said, okay, I'm gonna follow what you're telling me to do, I would probably have been canned. I mean, he would have fired me for sure, but so don't be afraid to say, hey, you know what? I need help, and I'm not going to be able, I'll be afraid to go ask somebody who's older and wiser or younger and wiser. Mm-hmm. Because actually Kevin Adams is, gosh, he's about 5 years younger than I am, but he figured it out, you know?
Yeah, that idea of mentorship, though, is such a biblical idea. There's a line in Psalms, it's one of my favorite verses, but I can't remember the number. But it's, one generation commends your good works, they tell of your mighty acts, and they tell from one generation to another. And I think about that, like, I wouldn't be involved in ministry if it wasn't for, you know, I years ago, my wife left me. I was a youth pastor of a very large youth group. Our youth group was basically the same size as our weekend attendance. At this church I worked at, and my wife left me, and I need, you know, you can't be a youth pastor and, you know, getting divorced, right? That's just kind of not a thing. And so I had to leave my position, and if it wasn't for a lot of mentors that I had, you know, you mentioned the gentleman who made you go to the Dale Carnegie classes, my friend Greg Morgan, he was so loving, but yet he told me, he told me when I was wrong, you know, and I think about that, and I still think of him all the time, and I wouldn't be in ministry. I'm our church's production director, and whether I do a good job or not, I wouldn't be here, you know, in ministry if it wasn't for people who basically told me I was wrong, you know. And I think maybe we all have people like that in our lives. We wouldn't be doing what we're doing if we didn't have people tell us that we're doing it wrong.
Well, and I mean, it's not just a matter of people telling us; it's being open to that,
right? Yeah,
and saying, "Yeah, I am wrong." I mean.
The idea that you don't know everything.
Exactly.
I mean, but you still have to strike things with the confidence that you, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I think colleges, it's a balance. Colleges have a way of jading people to that, yeah. right? I mean, how many – I've talked to several college – nobody in this room, obviously, but several college people who are jaded. You know, you try to tell them, hey, look, you know, it's really not option B. A, you should be going to option B, and right. they do not want to hear it because – you know, you're just some dumb redneck that's driving a pickup truck. And,
hey, I learned most of what I know from big dumb rednecks that drive pickup trucks, all right? That's my neck of the woods. So, when I find it interesting because, like, I went through it was a large process to be ordained. I was in Baptist Church, Southern Baptist, and the church was led by deacons. I had to go through a 6-week, like, super crazy intense, like, course, like, twice a week, hours on end, everything from memorizing scripture to etiquette, like, proper dining etiquette to, like, everything. Like, I went through this huge, huge thing, right? And it's all part of the ordination process at this church. And at the end of this,
transfer your membership to Rise Christian Church back in the day.
Yeah, they wanted to know if I wanted to transfer my membership by letter. I was like, no, I'm all good. I don't need.
That's a few podcasts whatever. Back. That was the last podcast I was on.
So I go through this 6-week intense course with the leader of the deacons, you know, and. Who is a highly educated man. I mean, he was brilliant. But I go through this thing, and we schedule the ordination ceremony. And it's the same day right after I have this hour-long sit-down with all the deacons in my church and any of the area deacons that wanted to attend, where they just grilled me for like an hour. Like yeah, I had like
Christ-like.
I had 15 well just grilled me on questions about different things and I had like 15 deacons sitting around this table around me, crazy intimidating because they were all, you know, much older than me, you know, most of them were very, very much older than me, like my grandpa age and up, you know, and my grandpa's sitting there too.
That's intimidating.
But all these guys are sitting around who have been, you know, deacons, which is essentially the same thing as elders in the church right. here. I mean, long mess there we could get into, but I'm not going to. But all these guys who have been in these leadership positions in the church for years upon years, you know, and I'm this, I don't know, 20-something-year-old little young punk kid who, you know, is in college, you know, ending college soon and all that. And the number one thing that I learned in that whole process was, I don't know, but I will find out and come back to you. Like that's the number one thing that I learned from that was that it's okay to be like, I don't know. I don't know what to do in that situation.
All right.
But I'm going to figure that out and then I'll come back to you and let you know, you know, like that's, I mean, out of all of that, that's what I remember, you know, is the fact that it's totally okay to say, I don't know. I mean.
Yeah, I have a similar thing. I remember there was one point in my hotel career where I was sitting around with a lot of leaders in our company. And I remember being the young punk that, you know, just I was a GM of a hotel, and it was a significantly large hotel. And I remember just sitting around and them asking me, like, every question I should know off the top of my head and, you know, not knowing the answer. And I think a lot of times we try to just give an answer just to give an answer, you know, whereas in reality we should know the answer, not just, you know, guess it to make someone happy in the moment. But
I have another issue. I, you know, let's just air out all my problems today.
It's okay, man.
We're all friends here. I process things very fast. My brain processes conversations really fast. And so when somebody, especially whenever I'm discussing something that is maybe a little bit heated.
Like vaccines?
Like vaccines. My brain is processing what they're saying.
Worms, I see.
My brain's processing what somebody's saying. Not, it sounds like it's processing to give a response, right? But, like, isn't that what we're all doing always? Like, that's how we're created. Like, we process what somebody's saying to then respond to them. Like, hearing them, right? Yeah. I'm taking in what you're saying, and I'm trying to understand, right? That's part of the back and forth. In my eyes, that's what the back and forth is all about, is trying to understand what you're actually saying and then come to the conclusion of whatever the truth is, right? Like, that's the whole reason why, and I get passionate about a lot of things that I have discussions about. I think passion shows where your heart is and where your true beliefs lie. And your faults, right? Your faults come through whenever you get super passionate about things. But my brain processes the information in an argument type setting, whether that's a discussion, debate, whatever, really quickly. I have thought through a lot of things in college that was like, I slacked off on a lot of the homework because I did everything that I could to try to learn about people and how to push buttons and see where the edge of their buttons are to not push them too far. You know, those sorts of the people interactions. And I learned that, you know, you can't learn that. I mean, every single person is so vastly different that you just can't learn people. But all that to say, like, one of my biggest faults is that I speak when somebody's done speaking instead of giving the illusion of extra time spent, this extra space spent of silent contemplation. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. So like whenever somebody is saying something, I'm processing all that and figuring out where I am with all of that. And when they're done speaking, I speak to it, right? I speak to what they've just said. And a lot of times I've learned that a lot of times people don't like that because they think that they're not being listened to. Yeah. When in reality, I'm listening, I'm processing it all. And I want to seek the truth in the matter ultimately. But my brain just doesn't have to take the time in order to process it. So one of the things that I've learned is that, like, I've got to give somebody some time before I respond. Not because I need it, but because they need it. So I don't know.
It's funny. I'm a lot of stuff that, of that
college has brought. Actually, recently, this is what brought that to me. But
no, you're sorry. You good?
Yeah, I don't know.
See, I'm the opposite. Actually, like, I have to, like, someone will say something to me, and it takes like when I get in an argument with Colleen, my fiance, which we don't argue often. We're not really argumentative people. So yeah. If you think I like to argue, I really don't, because that means that I have to think faster, and I belong on a beach somewhere under a tropical palm tree, okay? That's just like a sand crab or something. But, you know, it takes me a minute to process things when something is said, and so it takes me a moment. And sometimes she's like, are you going to say anything? I'm like, I'm like five sentences ago. I'm still processing this, and so...
I end up just shaking my head a lot nowadays.
I'm not quite there yet, but yeah, I feel like I'll be there eventually.
No, because I was like that.
Yeah. Is that like always a specific age thing? When I cross like this age, it'll happen?
Well, I don't know. And
Mark,
I can't,
what's your age?
52.
Okay, so when I cross the 51-year-old mark?
No, I think it happened. Okay. It starts to happen in your 40s, to be 40s. Honest.
40s. Like, I'm going to wait until my 40s. Yeah. So.
Like 40, I got seven more years. Like, man, I got to wait until
No. I didn't say at 40. I said in your 40s.
Okay, I got to wait seven more years to start.
So, you know, what I find myself doing is, you know, I tell, you know, again, we've talked about this maybe a couple podcasts ago, that I'm no longer that parent figure, right? I'm now the mentor to my kids. Well, they're all, you know, they're in their 20s and going, one has actually reached their 30s. So now when I hear stuff and I try to give my, you know, the old man point of view and they don't want to listen to it, I just shake my head a lot and just say, oh, okay, you know.
Yes,
I'll be over here watching.
See, my parents had me when they were in their 50s, so they've always been old.
Wait a minute.
Man.
Okay, so I remember I was a kid. I went to the summer camp. It was called Camp Wingman. It was a church camp up in Avon Park area. And I remember it was me and my other friend. She was from the same church that I grew up going to, and she was there as well. And we didn't, her and I really didn't know anybody, but we knew each other, so we were friends at camp. And she's like, oh, wait, that's your dad. And I'm like, you almost said that was my grandpa, didn't you? And she's like, yeah, but I know your grandpa, and they don't look the same.
All right. So, I mean, but even aside from my kids, it's like the stuff you hear on the news. You know, I listen to a lot of political podcasts and that kind of thing, and I just end up shaking my head a lot because people who are very passionate about things that are going on right now, I think we're going to find out, you know, as they go and grow and mature, none of that really matters. You know,
well, and that's hard part for us younger people, like. Your age, like you're around my dad's age. I think my dad's a little older than you, a couple years. But I mean, I don't remember how old my dad is. He's in his 50s. So, but you guys, like, you grew up, like, even through teen years and plus, without the internet and social media, and all this stuff. And like, and I grew up without like the social media until. Like high school, like junior high school era is whenever we started getting like Zanga and MySpace, you know, wow. Like the stupid ones, actually the better ones. But anyways, I didn't even have Facebook until 2007. Right. So I was 2007, 2006. I was like tail end of high school when I got a Facebook, you know? And so like, I have part of that. But, like, we have gotten to a point in our society, and we've talked about this I don't know how many times before, but, like, we've gotten to a point in our society where we think our opinion matters.
Exactly.
And our thoughts matter to everyone. To not everyone. Just, like, you and me, the three of us in here, our thoughts matter to each other. Like, our opinions matter to each other to some extent because we're friends, right? Like, and that's how we iron sharpens iron.
Right.
It's all about hashing things out to figure out truth. In like-minded friend groups. But when it comes to, like, people that you don't have a clue, you've never met before, three connections down the line, it's only going to cause problems.
Right. I just think the vitriol that's on, I mean, it's just nastiness that's on social media. I would try Twitter.
Yeah.
I had tried Twitter for,
what,
3-4 months. I tried to be one of those guys on Twitter. I can't do it. I mean, it's just like I wanted to. People are so just gross to each other. It's just like, forget it, you know?
I don't know. It gets weird because, like, you know, Derek and I are big TikTok guys. We like watching TikTok.
Yeah.
But TikTok, the whole point of social media is to keep you engaged, right? And so it'll learn you, right? And it'll only feed you things that it will keep you engaged with, right? And it will test, like, you know, so I'll get a video of maybe something I disagree with, and obviously I just flip right past it. So it knows, okay, don't feed this person this, you know, only feed it what it likes, you know. And so, you know, I actually, when we were starting the podcast, I was beginning to mention this earlier. I don't think that the world's gotten worse. Now, granted, we're closer to the end than we've ever been. I fully believe that. Well, I just think the world's
every
gotten...
minute of every day is closer to the end. I mean, that's just like I have less heartbeats in my future than I did yesterday and two seconds ago.
Yeah,
like,
we understand that revelation.
You guys
needed
a college education to figure that out?
No. I'm making fun of him for that.
No, my point being that, you know, I get it. We're closer. Revelation says we're closer than we've ever been, right?
Right.
We're closer now than when we started the podcast, right? But I just think that the world's gotten louder.
Yeah.
There's so much noise in the world. And there's a song, actually, it just came out by this band a couple months back called Quiet. And listening for God's still voice in the quiet, in the silence. And I think that's it paints a beautiful picture of God calls us to be still. Don't be busy.
Yeah.
Be still. And a lot of times as Christians, we get so caught up on trying to work, you know, and try to earn. Like, you know, we always say, well, you didn't earn your salvation, but a lot of times you work at trying to earn God's favor.
Right.
You like you think God is a transaction.
Holy cow. You know, that hits home because I was just talking to my daughter Brittany about that, just about that same subject. I've been doing a 300, you know, read the Bible at 365
days. Oh, in a year?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's intense.
So, but what I can't, you know, I can't read. I can't sit down and like pick up a book and read it because
is that why you didn't go to college?
That's why I didn't go to college.
Oh man, I can't either.
Yeah.
And I picked philosophy. Like, Spark Notes was my friend. Yeah. I just want to put that out there. All right?
So, you're talking to your daughter, Brittany.
So I'm talking to my daughter, Brittany, about, you know, because I'm doing this Bible thing, and I'm listening to it. So I'm having it read to me. I think you guys had used the Bible app and read it into podcast one time. But anyway, so at first I was sitting down and listening, and then I found myself, okay, well, I can listen and make lunch in the morning. And now I'm just doing it to check a box. You know what? I'm stuffing the Bible in where I can instead of spending time, quality time with God, and I'm just checking that box, and it goes right back to what you were saying. Like, you know, I don't earn salvation, but I sure am trying to earn salvation. Mm. You know what I mean?
We went through, I was in a small group over the summer. Nick was in it and all that. Oh, you were in it too.
That small group.
The difference between agenda, doing things with an agenda, and doing things with a purpose is huge because the agenda is checking those boxes. A purpose is not. A purpose is doing things because you're purpose driven to do those things.
Right.
And it wasn't purpose-driven anything from, who was it, Rick Warren?
Yeah.
It wasn't that, but I've never read it. But
I read it.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, I didn't.
Once again, reading, you know. I need to get more into audio stuff, because maybe I would actually pay attention to books and whatnot. But anyways, but it was a workbook. What was it called? Rooted?
Rooted. Yeah. I think it was by Kyle Eilman. Someone at Southeastern Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky.
It was really good. Bring you back to the basics. Mm. And one of the major distinctions one week was agenda versus purpose, and how we a lot of times fall into this agenda-based, I got to get this done, checking boxes. Right?
And then we give whether that agenda to God and tell him our agenda. I remember that.
Right. And that, like, but that's what we fall into, especially those of us who have been doing church stuff for a long time. Like, I've read the Bible. The whole Bible, several times through.
Right.
I have studied Greek, Koine Greek, for a year in college. Like, I've done all of that stuff, right? And so, for my brain, it's hard for me to go, I'm going to read every single day. Because in my brain, it's like, well, I can meditate on what the Bible says without reading what the Bible says. You know, I meditate on, you know, the lessons and the teaching and all that. And I internally try to justify not reading scripture.
Mm, right.
You know? And so, like, I think it's really easy for those of us who have been in it for so long that it's like to get away from some of that stuff, that it becomes, you know, I don't need this box, you know? And we can throw away that checkbox, and these other things then become checkboxes. You know, going to church, recording a podcast because, you know, that's my contribution to the church, or putting out all of the tech fires that you know, arise, or I play on the praise band, or, you know, my wife works there, so I'm at every single event if the church puts on in some capacity of helping, you know, like, and they all these things become check boxes because I've omitted certain boxes that allow me to remember my purpose. Mm. Under God in all of this.
I think a lot of times we equate activity with righteousness.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right?
There you
right.
go.
I always think about it, and we as a church celebrate communion every week, and this gets me emotional because I think about it. Judas was at the Last Supper.
Yep.
Jesus served Judas.
Yep.
Knowing that he was going to betray him, and it makes me think about how much more does Jesus love me. Right? Because he serves me, right? Mm-hmm. He served me even when I was far from God. Like, he came running after me. I was talking about that song Quiet a moment ago, and how, you know, relationship with the Lord is, you know, we kind of an agenda. And wow, I get emotional over thinking about Judas being served by Jesus. Mm-hmm. The name of the song is called Quiet. It's by Elevation Rhythm. We don't endorse everything from that camp, but they do have some interesting things. And the line from the chorus, I'll just be quiet and let you speak through the silence. Here I am, no more hiding. You are in this moment. I won't fight it. I'll be quiet. I don't need to know what comes next. Tomorrow is in your hands. I can trust you with the future because you're already there. I hear your voice calling me forward, and I know I'm not alone.
Yeah, scripture says, be still.
Mm-hmm.
And know that I am God. Like,
and I think with the advent of social medias and all the in your face and everything else, we've lost that. Mm. I mean, even as a society, we have lost that. Because it's so convenient, right? Mm. For those of you who can't see, which is everybody, I got my phone in my hand. Now, I can tell you right now, during this podcast, I've referred to an email that came through on a phone. I was going to talk about a Bible verse that came through here. This is such a distraction. This thing is such a distraction, and it's such an in-your-face kind of thing. And, you know, you go back to when I was growing up. Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the time of when I was the remote control for my dad. You know what
right.
I mean?
No, for real, though. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm lucky because we didn't have that.
Right. You had the foundation.
Yeah.
You had the foundation of the – it's not – getting up and changing the channel manually is not hard work.
No.
It's not. I mean, that foundation. I know that's just an example, but like, that's the foundation that you guys had.
Right.
You know, you're Gen X, right? Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gen X was the last generation to have that foundation
mm-hmm.
throughout all of their growing up.
Yeah.
And so, like, as much as I see a lot of Gen Xers on social media and combating and doing partaking in all of this, like, you guys are blessed to the point of like. If you wake up to it, it's easier for you to revert back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas we don't have the foundation. As much as our Gen X parents, or I don't know what generation your parents would be.
They're older than boomers.
Yeah.
They're 70. So my parents are in their 70s.
Okay. Wow. So, I mean, even with as much as the generations that raised us, me and Will, and younger, may have tried to instill that foundation. Like, we just didn't, we only got part of that, right? Like, I've always had a remote control, you know, like that's just how it is. And it's so like, there's this sense of not laziness necessarily. Cause like, I don't consider myself lazy, but convenience.
You were handed the convenience.
And ease, work smart, not hard, should be expected. Now, I agree. If we can work smart, that's good. But you got to understand the concept of rolling up your sleeves and getting your hands dirty at the same time. Like, you got to be able to do that. And we've lost that with this loudness and this ease and convenience of all of the social media. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really it's part of the issue. So I comes back to I really kind of envy your guys' generations for being able to not have to work as hard at that foundation mm-hmm. because that's where you started. You mm-hmm. know, that's what you got.
I envy you because houses were cheaper then.
it's all relative.
Yeah,
it's all
inflation, relative. Brother, inflation. Yeah,
it's all relative. Because I, you know, even though the houses are more expensive, people are getting paid more money. The value of a dollar is not what it used to be. You know, I can remember I saw a movie, Die Hard. Die Hard, the very first Die Hard. If you look, there's a scene where they show Mel Gibson is standing in front of a gas station sign. Says 99 cents.
Mel Gibson?
Yeah. Mel Gibson. Die Hard.
Yeah. Mel Gibson?
Did I say the Mel Gibson?
You did. Bruce Willis?
No. Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Yeah, no, I'm getting Bruce my Willis. No, I'm sorry. I'm getting my movie screwed up. Lethal Weapon.
Oh, okay, okay.
Lethal Weapon.
I was like, Die Hard, Bruce Willis.
No. Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon. Okay.
Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon was Mel Gibson.
For the young guy in the room, I have no idea what they're talking about.
You've never seen Lethal Weapon or Die Hard?
Y'all, I didn't grow up with a TV, so I didn't grow up with a TV.
Well, you're a blessed man, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so when you guys are talking about having to get up and change the thing, I remember we had a TV. It was probably about like a foot by a foot because that's all we could afford. My mom found it at a rummage sale one time. And I grew up really poor. And so, I mean, we lived on a boat. And a lot of people are like, oh, you lived on a boat. My dad salvaged the boat out of the bottom of the Fort Myers Pass. So we was po. We was very po.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived with my grandparents for a long time in my childhood. So, you know. It was nice living at grandma's house because I could have ice cream every Friday night, baby. But, you know, I didn't grow up with, I remember when my grandparents, they got their first color TV because they didn't want to have a TV because it was going to ruin the world. The only reason why they actually got a TV ever in the first place was because of the moon landing in, what was that, the 70s?
69.
You know, 69, okay.
They weren't entirely wrong.
No,
they weren't.
You know, and I mean, we were simpletons. And so now I think about it, I think about how many TVs I have in my house now. There's one in the master bedroom. There's one in the living room, and then there's one, and we have a spare room, a bonus room. So there's three TVs in our house now, and there's two of us, and not really even two of us because I live by myself.
So. All of this really hits to the reason why we decided to start the podcast in the first place. Besides the whole, I really just wanted to start a podcast. I had that desire, and
are you
also
talking about back in the day stories now? The podcast has been going on that long.
A year and a half. Year and a half. I mean, we started because the pandemic hit and we no longer had any programming besides Sunday morning. And so it was like, well, let's do a podcast and give another avenue, you know, to people to not take up on.
Sorry, back in the beginning.
We didn't use the social media, so, you know.
Back in my day.
Anyways, but let's see, where was I going with this? Oh, yes. The reason why we started it was that, you know, with the internet in general, your truth can be true. Mm-hmm. You can find everything there is to support your belief, regardless of what the belief is, how dumb, idiotic it might be, how rational it might be. Like, you can go online and find proof for whatever truth, quote unquote, that you think you may have. And that has really, truly, I think, ruined this moment of society.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think in the future, it will correct itself if we live that long. Right.
If
God
it.
Doesn't come back before that, yeah. I believe that it will correct itself. We'll figure out some way of we'll wake up, right, from this mess of information, right? Because at that same moment, as the same time as that may be true, that we can, you know, find truth to back up anything that we believe now by just clicking a button and, you know, even if it's not actually truth, we can find things to prove that it's true, right? Quote unquote, prove. Before it was just as easy to be brainwashed because it was harder to check for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You had to take the word of the man on the television screen that the moon landing was real,
mm-hmm.
right? Not saying one way or the other, but like you had to take their word for it. Whereas, I mean, today, you can do all of the research. You have things easier accessible. Like a telescope is easier accessible now than it was, you know, 50 years ago, whatever, you know, like.
Is that crazy that 1969 was almost 50 years ago?
That's, yeah, that's when I was born.
Oh, okay.
June 19th, 1969.
So oh, nice. 52 years ago.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's what I mean. Like,
isn't it great? I'm the
accountant. I think that, I don't know. I think so the problem is not the same. The world is not the same as it always has been as far as worse or better. I think it's worse. And the reason I think it's worse is not only can we find whatever information to prove our truth, right? Like, whatever we're seeking out, we can prove it true, but we can do everything anonymously. We have to own nothing anymore if we don't want to.
I don't know if it's necessarily worse. I just think it's faster. I think the worst comes out faster. You know, the bad comes faster.
But whenever you can do it anonymously, that changes the game because now everybody's willing to do it. Look at pornography, for instance. I mean, back when you were a kid, you had to either find something along the side of the road or in the trash or in a stash somewhere.
It was,
or you had
down
to
Cleveland
get somebody
Avenue.
Or you had to get somebody to get it for you. Like that was the thing. That's you couldn't true. Just do it anonymously super easy, right? Now click of a button. That's and true. Nobody will ever know.
But that's my, I think in, that's my point, is that pornography has always been here.
Sure.
It's been, but the thing now is that it's faster and it's here and it's right at your
fingertips. And you don't have to take responsibility for it.
No. I mean, but I didn't, wasn't taking responsibility. The person providing me with pornography was never taking responsibility for it either.
But they knew you were doing it. Now you can do it without anybody else that matters knowing. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, there's accountability.
I mean, obviously the government knows everything. So,
well, somebody knows everything.
Gonna know, but
like whoever you were getting it from could have been and should have been your accountability, right?
Right.
But now I don't have to have any accountability to access any of that stuff. I don't have to have another party knowing that is supposed to be there. Like, because that's what community is supposed to be about, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it's supposed to be, is us holding each other accountable for life, whether that's in a Christian circle or not. I mean, that's why we have law enforcement,
right?
You know, is to hold each other accountable for things. So the person that you might have been getting it from should have been the person holding you accountable. I could now at any point in time just go online and nobody else know. It's possible to do that now. And that's why I think it's worse, is the anonymity. You don't have to take responsibility for anything. People bullying, right? As much as I still am a part of the old school sticks and stones, right? Like, I think people should toughen up a little bit. As controversial as that may be today.
Yeah, that's like, come on, bro. Like, that's a whole nother podcast.
Like, yeah, I know, right. I know. But... As much as I'm in that boat, like, you can bully people without anyone knowing that you're the one that did it. Like, you just have a fake name on there. I mean, it's that easy, and it really is that easy.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean,
but it's still. I mean, I'm just going to revert back to it. Still, it's just louder. You can disconnect from social media. Now, granted, it's addictive, like a drug. Like, as someone who used to do addictive drugs back in their young teenage years, I'm sorry, Mom. I wasn't going to youth group at the Methodist church. We were doing drugs. But, I mean, there is still a point when you can make a conscious decision to disconnect.
Sure.
I agree. That's why I think that, like, fasting, like social media fasting, like, you know, referring back to that small group that we had, it was a day that we fasted. I actually did the fast I started the week before. It was the social media fast. And I get this notification every Sunday of how much time I've spent on my phone. And it was so satisfying to see that notification of your engagement on social media was down like 90-something%. And the only reason why I probably engaged on social media was church-related stuff.
I just swiped that clear. I don't even look at it anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I have it set to certain notifications, but it was just so satisfying to disconnect from that week. Now, granted, I'm not going to be able to sit here and toot my horn and say, you know, I spent all that time in the Word with the Lord, you know, but I mean, I spent it doing other things. I remember I worked out every day that week. I remember I went for lengthy walks. I love going to watch the sunset on the beach. It's really romantic.
By yourself. Oh, sorry.
Thanks for rubbing it in, man. So I got three TVs. I can watch every news outlet there is. But I remember I spent things doing that I wouldn't normally do because I'd be sitting there watching TikTok, you know? So.
Yep.
But.
Yeah, I mean, I sit at work all day long, can do anything I want to at work as far as like on a computer, you know, on my phone, whatever.
He does have the sweet life.
Like,
don't let him.
I just can't have I can't have headphones in or anything, but I can play games. I can do whatever I want to, right? And so I waste all of my time on either TikTok or Discord, which Discord is a gamer's chat social media, essentially, playing Dungeons and Dragons. So like, Yeah. And so, like, I waste all this time that I could be spending, you know, studying to maybe become management and security or whatever. But instead, like, what I mean is, you know, educating myself to do something that maybe I want to do. Instead, I am sucked into the social media of things.
But even at 50, I'm sucked into it, too. So, I mean,
you're saying is we can send you TikToks, too?
I don't do TikTok.
Oh.
I try TikTok.
Yeah, the difference, though, is that you're established. I am not, right? So, like, There's a little bit of that flexibility in there that you may be sucked into social media, but you're established where you're at, where I should be focusing on getting myself established, and yet I'm stuck on social media.
Right.
And our whole generations that are younger, that aren't established in things, are doing the same thing. And so it's going to take us longer and longer, if at all, to become established in things.
Mm.
And so I think that once we figure out that that shuts freedom down, right? Our freedom to do whatever we feel like doing and want to do and desire to do, once society realizes that that mindset is going to shut things down, I think there will be a change. I don't know what the change is going to be, but I think there will be a shift in some of that social media, and there will be a shift in some of that mentality at the very least, to where we will focus a little bit more on establishing ourselves than being sucked into the social media. But it's going to take, I think, things getting much worse.
Before. Yeah, I think I think it's going to implode on itself because it has no choice but to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look at Facebook, right? That Facebook is a prime example of it, I feel like, starting to implode.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, okay, well, now they're fact-checking everything, mm-hmm. right? Fact-checking with quotation marks. Like, right. They're paying people to fact-check things. And I'm not saying that everything is not true, not well-checked, right? But I've seen things that have been falsely, you know, accused as being false that didn't match up with what was actually in the post.
Mm-hmm.
Like it had nothing to do with it, what it's claiming was false about said thing. But it was hot on the political agenda on the opposite side of the aisle of what Facebook wants.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like we're seeing that implosion because there's a silencing going on.
Yeah.
There's a shutting down of things going on. And honestly, I don't know what it's going to lead to.
Right.
I don't know how far that's going to kind of cause people to go.
I can tell you that from, you know, 1970 whatever to now, America is very different.
Oh, I'm sure.
It is incredibly different.
I think in 20 years it's different.
Yeah. I mean,
look at 9/11.
Yeah.
The September 12th.
Yeah.
Of 2001.
Yeah.
Looks this a lot country different than America today.
Was almost 100% united.
Right.
And everything. We set down all of our differences and said, not on our land.
Yeah, not here. And you lose that now. It's all of that is basically gone.
Mm.
Is all of it is gone.
Even now we want to shut down police.
But even before 9/11, you know, I grew up with the greatest president ever, Ronald Reagan.
Mm. Amen.
but there was that sense of unity, you know.
Yeah.
In other words, wasn't that
United States of America.
Well, but we could have different views, but it wasn't that
we do, Mark.
Well,
no. You drive a Dodge, bro.
You sure? I reckon so. We could disagree
mm-hmm.
and still walk out and have, you know, a beer. Sorry, Mom.
Well, yeah,
but I mean, we could still walk out,
right.
Still have different views, and still get along.
Yeah.
Now, if we're on different sides of the aisle, left, right, whatever, conservative, liberal,
we're not supposed
to hang out. Yeah. We're not even supposed to talk to each other,
right?
And I think that's where the implosion comes from, because I think God help us, we're America's going to continue to look. And I don't think the idea of America was ever to be the same as it was when at its founding, but it's going to be. I think it's going to be different. And
it's
not
supposed
a good
to
way.
Grow.
Yeah, and
but
I think
don't
we're
think
not,
we've grown.
We're not in that. We're not in a growth period right now. We're in a period of division.
Mm. Right.
You know.
I mean, there's a reason that the phrase "United we stand, divided we fall" is all over our documentation. Right. Like there's a reason for that. It's because. Literally, like, if you and I don't band together as brothers, regardless of our views on and outlooks on things, as we are one people, then all of the things that all of the people who came before us, all of the founders and the people that paved the way for us to live the life that we want to live. Like, 50 years ago, people had to work hard to get the life they wanted to live.
I started working on when I was 14 years old.
Us?
We were 16.
Yeah.
We've always had whatever we wanted.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like I said, I'm on that older side millennial. I'm not very far on the older side millennial, but I consider myself an older soul in the millennial side. Like, we had to work for some of the things, but we always had what we wanted. You know, we always got that Xbox for Christmas, right? You know, like, we always got that the next biggest thing. Like, now, I mean, it was not until college, but every 2 years we get a new phone.
Mm-hmm.
The newest phone
mm-hmm.
that's up to date. Like, we get whatever we want, and it's, like, handed to us,
mm-hmm.
you know? Whereas 50 years ago, y'all had to work hard to get this thing. I had to set a goal to have this, with the exception of maybe credit cards, right? Like, I don't know how that worked back then, but, like, you still had to work harder than what we do now to get our quote-unquote wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's this mentality, and I've always been told it's from the boomers, after the war, they, and all that, and all the boomers came about, and they're like, well, my parents had to work extremely hard to give me anything, so I want to give better for my kids, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then that those kids, you know, grew up and were like, well, you know, my parents had to work hard to get me whatever I wanted, so I want my kids to have even more. And we're now to a point where that was a wrong mentality. And we should have been passing down generationally that you got to work hard for all of these things. Yeah, I get giving a better life, but making people work for it hasn't been instilled millennials on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been a big downfall as well. And when it comes to all of the political division, all of the social media stuff, all of this stuff ties in together. It all falls in together, because if we were taught to work hard, we would think through and process things a little better, because we'd be planning for this
mm-hmm.
in the distance. Whatever is out there that our goal is, we'd understand how to make goals. Set goals and how to figure out how to get to that goal. But I don't know. My goal is to find a job that I'm established in, and I have no idea how to even start.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's not necessarily a problem because of what my parents did, but it's a problem that it's not taught anywhere anymore.
Yeah, your generation
wasn't
taught it, right?
Nobody is taught that anymore. Like, it's not in the schools, it's not in colleges even anymore. Like, it's nowhere to be found. There's this lack of teaching of hard work, goal setting, and how to get there, and the fact that failing is not a bad thing. Failing should be an inspiring thing.
Right.
You fail at something, that means you figured out a way not to do it. And it should help you to work harder to find the right solution to whatever it is that you're looking for. But failure is like an end now.
Mm. Yeah.
If I failed at anything within my job, I should just quit it and find something different.
Mm.
Or if I quit my job that is being terrible to me, I will fail in life. Everything will just go away. And so we take the abuse of something that we really shouldn't be doing in the first place.
The other thing that I find a little bit distressing is that we want to protect our kids from failure, mm. right? There's this attitude now among parents that they want to protect their kids from being failures. And, you know, I've heard crazy things about, you know, sliding grade scales and stuff in school where they're not going to hand out Fs in certain locations and that kind of thing. And I'm like, that's nuts. How do you grade yourself? How do you know when you're progressing if you don't have a way of failing?
Yeah.
You know? Kids, it's okay to fail. It's all right. Well, as long as the failure doesn't become a focus.
Yeah.
Right? If you fail, you look at it and, okay, I need to make this adjustment to succeed. that's a good failure. If a failure becomes I fail and I quit and I'm taking my ball and going home when it's something that you want to do, that's a bad thing. That is truly a bad thing.
That's the trophies for losing, right? That's right. Trophies for losing, and then you get out into the world and you no longer get trophies for losing in the real world. Mm-hmm. Like you don't get the same bonus as the person who worked their butt off to succeed better than you did. Yeah. You don't get that.
Yeah.
And in the real world, that's not a thing. And so I think we're starting to see what the...
Oh, we're only seeing a glimpse of it right now.
That's what I mean. We're starting to see...
We're starting to see the product
results
of that.
Yes, right. of that.
Yeah. Let me leave you guys with something. I know we got to wrap up.
And yeah,
I've been dying to share this. The Proverbs... Oh, man, I just had it. Okay, Proverbs 25. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So the purpose is in you.
Right.
What you got to do is in you.
Right.
What you got to figure out is how to draw that out. And I think that's fortunately, God blessed me and drew that out right away in me. I think some people it takes a longer time, and there may be a purpose in that wait.
Yeah.
You know, waiting.
That's the hard part within the Christian beliefs too, is that, like, especially if you understand that God's timing, right, like, mm-hmm. is in play here, mm-hmm. like, it's so, the wait is so hard.
Yeah.
I think the wait is harder.
Yeah.
Maybe knowing that God's timing is in play than, because you can't give up at that point. You know that God is, like in play.
Right.
You know? He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's going to open up the right things at the right times for you. It's that waiting for the right things, not knowing what the right things are, not knowing what the right time is, not knowing any of that, and just relying on someone else, really relying on somebody else to for you. That's
I have a mentor. He says solid. There's a purpose in the pause.
Yep.
There's purpose in the pause. That.
That's cool.
I know, one liner for you to go. Yeah. Hey, as always, you are loved, known, and significant, and this has been The Truth Response.
God bless.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and give us a like on iTunes and Spotify so that you will never miss a show. And while you're at it, check out our Facebook and Instagram pages and make sure you tell your friends about this show. You don't want them to miss out on the truth. Because we are all about the truth here. Thanks for joining us this week, and God bless.